show.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us here on a Thursday morning, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. It is a throwback Thursday today as we celebrate the 1979 NCAA championship game between Michigan State and Indiana State, the Bird Magic game. Not only did they bring interest to the NCAA tournament, they brought interest into the NBA as well, reshaped the NBA. But we're still dealing with this virus. Yesterday, we got good news on New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton. He says he's been cleared. He says he's not had a fever for a number of days. He started feeling symptoms about 10, 11 days ago. So he's doing very well, telling a local radio station that he's been, you know, he's okay. We've seen the effects of this virus on athletes, athletes who have gotten it, athletes who have, you have close family members who have gotten it. But there is an impact in the sports world we're still dealing with. Today is supposed to be opening day across Major League Baseball. One event that I keep saying over and over again, do not take away, do not delay. Hold it as is. The best way you can hold it is the NFL draft in late April. Do it as a studio show. Do it as a cut-ins to team rooms while they discuss picks. But I'm getting the feeling that this is not a popular thought with general managers. We're hearing more people in the league say that we might have to delay it. And some of it was out of concern for how it would look, right? Doing this kind of business at a time where things were really shutting down and everybody really needed to take it seriously. But there seemed to be an image disconnect between what people are going through and then also the idea of making young people instant millionaires. I get that. But one of the other factors is all the facilities are closed. Now you're starting to hear the outcry from general managers going, hey, wait, there is a process to this. All right. And this is not going to be, if you want us to hold the draft, you've got to let us do due diligence as best we possibly can. And none of the tools are there. If that is a sentiment that starts building up momentum more than the image, more than the maybe the feeling like maybe we shouldn't be doing this at a time when people are quarantined, even though the quarantine people may say, no, please, please do it. This might get delayed. I'm not really as optimistic as I was that the NFL is going to hold on to the end of April date for the draft if more GMs speak out about the process.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, Rod Stewart, 1979, Throwback Thursday. Magic and Bird at the NCAA Finals. If you like my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, sugar, let me know.
Yep.
I said that a lot, and everybody said, stayed silent. I don't know. Oh, I guess still waiting.
I like to think that this was maybe the song of the 1979 NCAA tournament.
Probably.
Just singing this in the locker room.
That's right. Rod Stewart was great. No, I shouldn't say was. He's still alive.
He still is. Yeah, he's still fine.
He's a big soccer fan. Did you know that?
Yep.
No.
Yeah. No, he got to play like in an exhibition game and scored for one of his favorite soccer clubs.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this on VH1.
Yeah, and they're called testimonials.
Yeah, his father was a huge fan of this team. He grew up as a huge, and because of his celebrity, he got to play again. His father just, of all the things, of all the records and the concerts and all that stuff, his father was most proud that his son scored a goal in this exhibition with this team that meant so much to his family.
I have a Rod Stewart connection. I mean, I saw him in concert.
Are you related
once.
To Rod Stewart?
No. Oh, okay. I'm not. It's not that cool.
Okay.
I had set up a game. I don't want to call it a charity game, but it was a game. And it was with Rod Stewart's team. His club team.
Sure.
And it was when I was living in LA, and I set it up, and I was going to bring out a bunch of kids who were there to come and watch Rod Stewart play soccer. The last minute, he had to cancel, but his team still came out to play, which included his agent. And since I had gone through all the trouble of getting everything set up, like the field, and got officials to come, they allowed me to play with them.
Oh, that's cool.
And his agent used to play for West Ham United. And a lot of the guys on his team happened to play soccer as well, you know, professional soccer as well. Some of them didn't make it to the big time. They were playing in, like, lower division teams. But all of them played somewhat professionally. So I got to hang out with them for a little bit. And I think I held my own.
That's pretty good. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to get that kind of stuff?
I mean, his agent was saying, yeah, he was supposed to be here, but he had signed a soccer ball, and there was a raffle.
Oh,
and
that's
so
good.
You know, somebody had one of the kids who came out to watch won a signed soccer ball from Rod Stewart.
That's good. That's good. Frank and Mary on Twitter, what are the odds that among the other 37 essential personnel on the roads with me this morning, there are still 50% of them driving like idiots? That's a good point. Oh, yeah. By the way, if you're essential personnel listening to this, thank you very much.
Yes.
You are essential personnel, so.
So are you.
Yeah, we try, right?
Yeah.
We try. So thanks for being an essential personnel
amazed.
Being out there.
I am amazed. You know, I figured yesterday when I left here, there was going to be less traffic. And I was looking forward to taking photos of empty streets as I
cruised down. And what was it like?
It looked like a weekend day.
Oh, okay. So a weekend, but still busy, but not like a rush hour.
There were still cars on the road, and I was like, man, there's a lot of essential businesses right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
I didn't know that.
No kidding. So again, a 1979 NCAA tournament, Magic and Bird on this date on a throwback Thursday. Have you been amazed by the outrage that Rams fans have for this new logo?
No.
Not at all?
I am not either.
I'm kind of with them.
I'm not
this is a
blown.
Terrible.
Yeah. Why change?
Yeah, why? I understand you want to maybe do something different as you move into a new stadium, but this seems overly dramatic.
But, I mean, was it necessary? I mean, I feel like, what if the Packers came out and said, we're going to go with a new G?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Is it necessary to do that? Or
no.
The Browns came out and said, you know what? We're tired of just a solid orange helmet. We're going to add a picture of something.
The problem with the logo, and if you haven't seen it, it's an LA, and then the slants in the A turns in, goes back and turns into a horn. The problem is it's not really evident that it's a horn or a ram.
Yeah,
it doesn't bring out that ramness that you may be used to. But they've changed the colors. They've gone with a lighter blue, a more golder gold, if you will. The best way I can describe it.
Golder gold.
Yeah, they've actually dubbed the blue color Rams Royal. You can't just name a color, can you? Can you
no.
just do that? Is there a color governing body?
Which
that
team
says,
is it the Texans that no. No, it's the Lions, right? The Lions have
right.
Honolulu blue.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Exactly.
They didn't go ahead and say, no, we're going to change this to Lions blue.
Now, I understand that, again, if you add a little pigment, I mean, you can have infinite colors, right? I mean, you can just keep adding little pigments until you create whatever it is. But if you do that, do you get the right to name it? Or do you have to go to a color board and go, like, can I just take a bunch of pigments, slop it together and go, that's Tony Purple?
I'm looking at it this way. I think it's like naming stars.
Yeah, I get right. There's just so many of them. Who's going to count?
So many. Who's going to know?
Who's going to know?
And how do you know that star has been named by somebody else?
That's right. That's right.
You know, you give that. I mean, that's is it still a popular Valentine's Day gift?
Remember, it used to be.
Give your significant other a star. Like I named a star after you.
I used to wonder if that was because there was a guy that did the ads, and he would say it makes the perfect gift.
Yeah,
and I go,
does it
make the perfect gift? Like, would your significant other really like that? Like, if it's her birthday, you take her out to dinner. It's a nice dinner. And then you go, I got a present for you. And she goes, oh, my God, what is it? She's thinking it could be jewelry. It could be a trip. It could be a night at a fancy hotel or whatever.
If it comes in an envelope, it's a trip.
Right. And right. So she's all excited. What could it be? And then you give her the envelope and she's thinking, oh, my God, what is this? This is awesome. And then you open it up and it's star registry and there's some crazy astro coordinates on it. And then you go, I can't even really point it out, but one of these things up here is named after you.
You. And only you.
And then she goes, well, where is it? And you know, I don't really know. I guess we could go to a planetarium and
line up the telescope to these coordinates and you could see it.
Well, I mean, what if you get a raw deal, too? What if your star that you purchased to be named after you can only be seen from Antarctica?
That's right. What if you live in Houston and you go to the local planetarium and they're like, yeah, unfortunately, this one is
all the better. Houston stars have been bought and paid for.
That's right. Those are done. Your star, you'd have to go to like Chile or something in order to see this. Like, you're not going to be able to see this as well.
And if you look at the menu, I mean, is it cost more whether you can see it or not? Maybe right. You can't see it by the naked eye. You have to have a telescope. So
that's a good point.
Does that cost less versus, say, can I purchase one of the Big Dipper stars?
So what do you think your significant other would feel like if she got that envelope and was like, oh, a star? Okay. I thought it was tickets to a trip, but, you know, whatever. I
mean, concert tickets.
Yeah, I thought it was concert tickets
maybe
to see my favorite artist who's coming to town next month.
Yeah, maybe you finally came around and you're taking me to the opera.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or something like that, where she was just thrilled she was going to get an experience or something. Like when you get something in an envelope, it's usually an experience. Right? Tickets to something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Okay. You need a star.
Yeah, see, I mean, I did that for my wife once. I got her an envelope for Christmas, and inside were two tickets to Phantom of the Opera.
Very nice.
We had a great time.
Well done.
That was years ago. I haven't been able to match that since, but, I know. It's when we were first dating, when I was still trying to woo her.
That's right.
I've wooed her since.
Good. I got my wife a camera once.
There you go.
I spent a lot of money on a camera that she's still uses, thank God.
Okay.
So back to this Rams logo. So Eric Dickerson is now the voice of the fans. He works for the Rams in some capacity and now is saying, I'm going to take this to the Rams, how angry you are that this logo is not as good. Now, they have the LA logo with the horn, and then they have an actual Ram, but the actual Ram doesn't look clean. It looks kind of amateurish.
Why change it?
Right. There was nothing wrong with it.
The original look that you guys have had for years. And, you know, sometimes you're like, you know what? Sometimes they're blue and gold. Sometimes they're white and gold.
Yeah, it's classic.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're white and blue or blue and gold or whatever it might be. I mean, it's just the horns.
Yeah.
That's all you need. We know which team you are. You don't need to spell it out for us.
So it's causing a lot of problems. Now, they're going to be moving into a new place. Now, here was the interesting thing. They said the Rams organization was raising money for coronavirus, and there was a drive. They said if we can raise over $2 million, director of something was going to read the 10 meanest tweets about the new logo.
Fantastic.
They raised $2 million almost immediately.
Yeah. That's a cause worth giving to you.
So, oh God, I don't know what it is about logos. Like, you really got to be careful when you change your logo. I know you get new branding, you get new merchandise and all of that, but people do have an attachment. Listen, I'm not a Patriots fan by any means, I always thought the Minuteman logo was cool. I always thought it was cool. When you really look at the detail of it, when you really look at he's a Minuteman, he was part of the Revolution, he's hiking a football, I thought that was really cool. When they changed it, again, I get it, there was new branding, and I understand the business side of doing those things. But I also go, boy, that's something that's gone. And I know nostalgia plays a little bit more into it, but I think it's a cool logo. I think that the Buccaneers have a better logo than they used to have.
Yeah.
And I know there's a little bit of feeling like, I remember the creamsicle uniform. Let's be honest, those sucked. All right, those were terrible. That's the swashbuckling logo.
The old swashbuckler logo does fit more with Tom Brady's look.
It does. Have you seen Brady's head, his face becoming that logo? It's great.
It's a little eerie.
It is a little eerie. That is a little
but
eerie.
But no, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, which logos have changed over the years? That's one that I can get behind.
Yeah, that looks good. And I was dating my wife the first year that logo was implemented. And she's like, you know, a Buccaneers fan. She's not a huge Buccaneers fan. But even she was like, I'm so glad that was so ugly. The creamsicle stuff.
Have other logos, like what other logo? Teams don't really change their logos.
Well, the Broncos did. The Broncos did. They had
that one looks a little bit. That one's better.
Yeah, I like that one. That one's better. You know, sometimes you hit a home run and it's great.
The Bengals changing their logo from the word Bengals to the tiger stripes. That's a lot better.
Don't put the name of your team on a helmet. Yeah. That's stupid. That's dumb. But imagine if the Browns said, you know what? We're going to put a logo on the helmets. I think people in Cleveland would go ballistic.
Oh, they would go nuts. They would go crazy. What are you going to do?
They would throw a fit.
You're going to put like the face of the dog pound on there? No.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, we're going to come up with – trust us. We've got our team on it. We're going to come up with a logo for the Browns, and that's going to be on our new helmets. People in Cleveland would lose their minds. They would lose their minds.
You don't need to change your logo. Imagine if the Steelers, how bad would people be up in arms if the Steelers said, you know what? We're just going to have the decal on the other side.
Oh, my God. That's a great point. They would go crazy, too.
You would have, I mean, talk about raising $2 million. It'd be like, how quickly could you raise $2 million to change that?
It's on one side of the helmet, and that's it.
That's it.
Exactly.
If you don't know what team that is, get out of football.
That's right. That's right. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour as well. Eric Musselman joining us in hour three, the head coach, head basketball coach at Arkansas. I think it's going to be fun to get a little perspective of what his team was going through, some of the thoughts about where the NCAA has got some issues coming up about what they can do with seniors and things like that. We'll get his thoughts on all of that. That's coming up in hour three as we roll along into Throwback Thursday, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We got to go back to 1979, Salt Lake City on this date, Magic and Bird, Michigan State, Indiana State, NCAA championship game. Yes, it was not as big of a tournament back then as it is today with 68 teams, but these were the two premier players, and they met in the finals. Michigan State winning 75-64. They would go on, of course, to revolutionize the NBA and bring the NBA back to a level of prominence with their play with the Celtics and Lakers. Bird and Magic is just so it's have we ever seen when you look back and see this sort of player rivalry and how revolutionary it is? We've had player rivalries before, but has any of them ever been credited with just taking a sport from the toilet and bringing it back up again? I mean, that's where the NBA was to a lot of people that were covering it at the time.
I guess maybe, you know, do we give credit to McGuire and Sosa a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, or the whole steroid users.
Yeah, because it did come. I mean, look, there was a strike. It canceled the World Series. We had Cal Ripken, which was a pretty good moment. But it wasn't a moment that was bringing baseball back to the forefront and putting it on the headlines. It was a great moment in a period of time, but then kind of it. We had the Yankees winning the World Series, but it really wasn't until 1998 that everybody was talking about baseball again. Look, when I was a kid, I wanted to see Joe DiMaggio's record of 56 games broken because I liked hearing the stories about how everybody, you didn't even have to say what you were looking for. Everybody around the country would go, did he get another hit? Because everybody was into it, right? Everybody was into DiMaggio. It didn't matter where you lived. And I always thought that was pretty fascinating. So growing up, there was a couple of athletes, a couple of baseball players that made a run at that. I think Paul Molitor made a run at that, and I was kind of caught up in that. I wanted to see somebody come close. Pete Rose, I think, got to 44. But the home run record, I think, the single season home run record was the one that I always did trajectory prediction for, right? I would see a player have 21 home runs by Memorial Day or something crazy like that. I'd go, oh my God, he's got a chance to get to 62. That's the way I kind of envisioned it. I always was looking forward to seeing that record broken. So I don't get it as a kid. I don't get it, you know, until I'm in my 20s and it's happening and it's a big deal. And it puts, you know, it puts baseball to the forefront. Magic and Bird, I think, what's great about Magic and Bird was, as I was talking about this earlier, was it revolutionized, it put the NBA back on the forefront, but it also revitalized, was a better word, the rivalry of Celtics-Lakers. And the two distinct fan bases and the two distinct styles of play. Right. Does Magic and Bird work if Magic went to Milwaukee and Bird went to Atlanta? I don't know. Maybe it does if they had that kind of success because they were dynamic players. So it wasn't so much that it was the Celtics with Larry Bird. Lakers with Magic, it really started to become Magic Bird, even though Kareem was on the team and the Celtics had good players on their team, right? It was still a lot of the focus was Bird and Magic because they brought it with them together after the 79 NCAA tournament on this date in 1979 in Salt Lake City. But think of when you pull yourself back into the legacy of these two athletes and what they did for the NCAA tournament and then also what they did for the NBA, it's hard to really think about a rivalry. Maybe Ali Holmes, Ali Foreman, maybe in boxing, I think, maybe. The NFL, we talk about the quarterback class of the early 80s, right? But I don't think it's the same. I don't think there's that same feeling. Because again, these guys, when you pull back, as I was saying earlier, when you pull back the decade of the 80s, these guys are prevalent in every NBA finals, either one or the other, right? I mean, up until what, Pistons, Blazers, one or the other is in the NBA finals all the way through the decade. I mean, where are you going to see that? Like, you know, if Jordan had a rival that dominated the 90s where you had arguments between the two, where you had the Bulls winning sometimes and somebody else winning another time, and the Bulls would then come back and win another one, and then the other team would come back and win another one, and one was the MVP and the other one was an MVP. Well, you didn't have that. You had Jordan, right? You had Jordan winning 6 titles in 8 years with the Rockets getting a benefit of a baseball career, right? That's what you have. Kobe and Shaq, then you get LeBron, and you don't feel like there is a trade-off between them, right? It wasn't the same. Now, the Lakers were more dominant in the Western Conference than the Celtics were in the East. The Sixers gave the Celtics a lot of fits, right? But especially in the early 80s, because the Sixers went to the 80 finals, they went to the 82 finals, and they won the thing in 83. Then you had Isaiah and the Pistons, knowing that their time was going to come. One of Larry Bird's greatest moments, and he had many great moments, but one of his greatest moments was the steal of an inbound pass in game 5 against the Pistons at the Garden, where he flicks it over to Dennis Johnson cutting in for a layup when the Pistons looked like they were going to be in complete control of the series, right? The Pistons were ready to come back, ready to challenge in the late, ready to take over, and they did. They won 2 titles. Magic held on, right? I mean, Magic, you know, sure, the Rockets in 86 with the skyhook, and the skyhook by Ralph Sampson, eliminating them from the Western Conference Finals. They went on to play the Celtics, the Rockets of Moses Malone in 1981. But the Lakers didn't have a team that was right behind them, ready to pounce, ready to take over. The Celtics were feeling that from Michael Jordan and the Bulls. They were feeling it, especially from Indiana, from Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons making a run. But it was a dominating. It's a remarkable decade for one sport when you look and you just pull yourself back and realize what you were seeing between these two guys and the teams that they represented. I mean, 84. I mean, plus, by the way, these two teams had great broadcasters. Chick Hearn in Los Angeles, Johnny Most in Boston. Johnny Most had this incredible voice. Like, it wasn't like a broadcaster's voice. It was this gravelly, I smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day voice. And he was a homer like you would not believe. Now, I heard Chick Hearn was kind of a homer, right? I mean, was he kind of a... But Johnny Most would scream into the microphone when Bill Laimbeer would do something, or Kurt Rambis would do something, or some, you know, whatever it was, if there was anything that he felt was like just an outrage, Most would scream into the microphone, and you felt that homerism all the way through. It was a great time. It was a great time for the league. Great. And these two guys, as we're bringing up in Throwback Thursday, because of 1979, were really the important factors of it all. You know, and I know Dr. J got one in, at least he got his title in 83, but the decade belonged to these two by Mint, and it started on this state in Utah. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. It's coming up next on a Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio.
time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, Throwback Thursday, good, the bad, and the dumb on this date. Boy, you know, it feels like we really need this every single day. Not like we didn't need it before. We love it, but we really need it because I look forward to this now every single morning.
I do, too.
Because we, you know, especially the good.
Especially the good because we need a lot of good.
A lot of good.
I mean, even today, I mean, there's, you know, the bad is, you know, you and I will have a discussion on that one. The dumb is kind of a good dumb.
All right, but the good is
karma dumb. The good of the day, and I hate to do this, but everything is pretty much coronavirus lately because everything is coronavirus related. So the good of the day is Costco announces a temporary pay raise for employees for all their hard work dealing with us animals.
Great.
So each employee, full-time and part-time, will receive a bump in pay, an extra $2 per hour in pay on their paycheck coming in mid-April, and it'll be paid in one lump sum.
Good for that. Good.
So
that's great.
I think that's fantastic. I think every store should do that because the way we're treating grocery stores right now,
I know,
is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And Costco is one of them. I mean, everyone's seen that viral video of a guy didn't even get a chance to wheel out the toilet paper, the pallet of toilet paper.
I know. It's crazy.
Before it was picked clean.
It's Mark Cuban had a very good tweet, and I think he's right that how companies deal with their employees during this is going to define them for a long time.
I think he's right, too.
I think he's right. I think if you're able to make a little news where you say, we didn't lay off anybody, we're giving the hard worker, we're, you know, because we're still open and we're getting, like grocery stores or whatever, we're giving them raises for putting up with all of this and for showing up every single day and doing all this. People are paying attention to that.
No, because basically, I mean, if you look at the other side where we're Cheesecake Factory announced to all their landlords, so all the managers of the restaurants or the ones who own Cheesecake Factory, the franchise owners, that they're not going to be paying rent.
Yeah, that's great.
No.
Oh, no.
Cheesecake Factory.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant that they were saying that you don't have to pay rent to us.
No. The corporation is not going to be paying rent on those properties.
Terrible.
Could this be the end of Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah. No, exactly.
I don't know.
So you're kind of hoping that you know, listen, the big concerns of the mom and pops who really struggle to keep their businesses open, like they own a restaurant,
Before this happened.
Right. And now with this, it's, you know, you're really hoping that they can stay alive. But, yeah, that's good for Costco. That's great. Good for them.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Because I'm sure it's very, very stressful. And, you know, like, you're checking people out, and some are coughing, and you're like, what?
Right.
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, you know, and I look at it, it's like, the only time I'll go to Costco, like, my wife goes, oh, we need to do a Costco run. I'm like, okay, we got to find a time to do it midweek.
Right, I know.
I can't stand doing it on a weekend because, you know, there's people, massive amounts of people everywhere. Or I'll just say, hey, meet me at the food court, I'm having a hot dog.
Honestly,
that's the best lunch deal in America.
I literally go for the samples. My wife does the shopping, and I go, all right, what a...
Yeah, my sons and I, we cruised each one, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, sure, I'll have that.
Yeah, exactly.
Tuna, whatever it is, because I wouldn't buy it anyways, but you're
teriyaki chicken? Like, yeah, of course I want teriyaki chicken.
You know, sometimes my kids trick us because I don't know if Costco cooks it better. Like, I remember once it was like... like chicken tikka or something like that, some Indian style chicken. And both my kids were raving about it, like, oh my God, this is so good. So we're like, you know what? Okay, we're going to buy this.
We'll
all have this. And then we prepared it like it says on the package. And they're like, well, we don't like this. This is gross.
It wasn't as good as the lady who prepared it at
exactly.
the store.
Exactly. who prepared it in that little toaster oven.
Right. The little oven that she has. She's cutting it up and putting it on toothpicks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm like, do we need to serve it with toothpicks? We'll go buy some. Does it make it taste better?
Hey, I got to get a couple of these. My wife is shopping. And they look at me and they go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Take my as favorite, you want, fatty.
My favorite are always the hawks. Kind of walk by and like look like, oh, she's about to take it out.
Yeah.
I will stand right here.
The bagel pizzas.
Yep. I'm going to stand right here and just stare at her until she is done.
That's right. I don't like, by the way, those of you who do the sampling, I know you want to sell salsa. I don't really need you to sample salsa.
No. We don't need
the different stuff. I need the stuff that's lazy. You just crack open a can of salsa, dump it in those little cups with some chips. Mm-hmm. That's lazy. I know you want to sell salsa. I get it. Give me something I normally would not buy and prepare it and watch my eyes glow.
Right. On top of that, there always needs to be a permanent station that is offering some sort of beverage.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Because when you walk around and you're trying all the different foods, I get a little parched.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me some...
sparkling whatever.
Yeah, give me some watermelon soda or whatever the heck you're...
I'm never going to buy it.
You're pitching.
I'll never buy it, but you know what? I'm thirsty. I'll drink it right now.
Without a question.
And should we take it a step further and say there always needs to be a dessert cart?
Exactly.
You know, whether it's just chocolate. Because those are the best. Because
I went to one...
Because if it's chocolate, they give you the whole piece.
That's right. That's right.
It's fantastic.
I went to one where they did mini banana... what is it called? Banana splits.
Oh,
little tiny banana splits. Yeah, it was. No, don't get me wrong. It wasn't gigantic. It was. They had a little ice cream, a little syrup, a little couple slices of banana.
Right.
They were trying to promote, and the little whipped cream. They were trying to promote it, like all of it. Right. Like,
right.
Get some bananas. Get some of this.
But here's the rule, Tony. You don't. You there is no limit for you.
Yeah,
so
that's
you
right.
You can keep going back until you've had an entire banana split.
That's right.
That's the secret. They can't say no to you. They'll give you that stink eye look, but they can't say no to you.
That's right. They can't. Exactly. All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that the sanctity of marriage is being tested right now.
I can only imagine.
Lawyers are expecting divorce rates to skyrocket.
Skyrocket, yeah.
Due to couples self-isolating with each other. Now, all right. I find issue with this because if you decided to embark on the sanctity of marriage... then that needs to be with someone that you said, you know what? Yes, I am giving my life to you. I don't know why being in isolation would deter that.
Yeah, there is a romantic angle to this to marriage, but
listen, I sit there a couple of times.
Did you ever think that you would be with somebody all the time?
I'm fine with that.
Of course you are, but there are a lot of people.
I look at it this way. Sometimes the kids are just getting in the way.
No, there's no doubt. Listen, I understand why people are. Look, some people marry and they think this is the right person and it isn't the right person.
The career men and women.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the only reason I'm saying this is because it's not in my thing. I'm happily married. I know people who are in miserable marriages. Miserable. They married the wrong person. They married too young.
Exactly.
They married the wrong person.
They're not marriage material. Maybe this guy has the guy has a side piece that he can't see anymore because he's
exactly.
in quarantine.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, look, and I know people who've gotten divorced who said, look, it was expensive, but it was the best thing that happened to me. Not everybody. Some people got divorced and it was miserable. They lost their kids. They lost a lot of money. The relationship was soured enough that it made them depressed. But I do know some friends who married somebody else and said, you know what? It took me until I was 38, but I found the right person.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean,
I don't know.
I
understand when people go, shoot, I wasn't really into this marriage before. Now I'm really not into this
marriage now. I don't want to think that. You know, because 2 months of isolation, that it's going to skyrocket.
Well, my thought is that if you were happily married before this and you're not happily married after this, go seek counseling to refind what you were missing during the quarantine. But if you were miserable before and you're even more miserable now, this is just exacerbating the fact that you probably were getting a divorce anyway.
Yep.
But if you were like holding hands with your wife or husband and you loved him and or her and you would die for them, and by the end of this you couldn't wait to get rid of them, that you just like, my God, I am praying for the end of time so I can end my time with you, as Meatloaf once said. Then you need to reevaluate where it went wrong. Like, you probably need to sit with a counselor, right? I'm not one to give marriage advice, but that's basically, you know, what you should be. But if you couldn't stand the person before this when they were at the office 14 hours a day, and now you can't even stand them more, you're probably destined for the divorce in the first place. Anyway.
That's just, I don't know. I want to believe in love, Tony.
Oh, you should.
I want to believe in love.
There's a lot of love. Listen, here's the deal. My parents have been married for 50 years, right? And I swear, they act like they're still dating.
Yeah.
It's the most awesome thing in my life. When I go see them and they, like, Chris Rock has a funny joke where he's like, he says, when you're with your woman and you've been together for a long time and you're with a new couple, and he goes, you go out to a restaurant and you stare at the guy and you go, oh my God, he's actually listening to what she has to say. Like, that's hilarious. Like, my parents do everything together. They love doing stuff together. They watch the same shows together. They go to amusement parks together. They go to the beach together. They're willing to try new things together. And if it stinks, they don't care. Like, you know, my wife and I do watch different shows, but we try to do as many things together as we can.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, same here. You know, you have your space.
I got that. Yeah. I got the believe in love thing.
Got to believe in love.
So I hope
no divorce skyrocketing. Come on, lawyers.
It's not true.
I think lawyers are just looking for extra angles of money.
And don't worry, you'll make it worse.
You'll be able to sue coronavirus when this is all over. Don't worry
about it. I don't want to see any TV ads that are like, hi, are you and your spouse on the ends after being quarantined for the last 4 months?
Yeah.
Here at Johnson & Johnson, we'll take care of that divorce for you. No problems.
I'll fight for you.
I'll fight for you to make sure you get everything coming to you. We got low rates on divorce without any hidden fees. So if quarantine has you thinking separation, think Johnson & Johnson, right? That kind of thing. I don't want to see those ads. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, it's actually two. I'm going to point them out because I'm going to say these are coronavirus idiots.
All right.
Because these guys they personify dumb. What's wrong with America's youth sometime. There was a man who filmed himself licking items at a Walmart, and he was promptly arrested and charged with terrorism.
Of course.
God bless him.
God bless him. God bless whoever came up with that charge.
Yeah. And then on top of that, there was this little thing called the coronavirus challenge. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the show.
No, I don't think we talked about it, but I know what it is. Yeah.
So, you know, there was one where there was an attractive woman licking an airplane toilet seat.
Oh, God, why would you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm going to skip to there was a man who filmed himself licking a public toilet. And this, I'm not sure where he was, but this toilet, you could totally tell this was a public toilet that, you know, you think twice about sitting on.
What are they getting out of doing this?
But on top of that, this man who did lick a public toilet has contracted coronavirus.
Of course. I mean, oh my God.
So for all you kids out there, this is the Tony and Ron PSA. Coronavirus challenge. Don't do it. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. But what are you getting out of this? Like,
clicks.
Is that it? That's
likes.
The only thing is people want to see you do this.
Exactly. And people are going to like it. And maybe they'll get follows.
Oh my God.
Because that's what we need. We need follows.
It's awful.
We need likes to our page.
Unbelievable.
So I'm going to lick a toilet seat.
So dumb. And it's probably one of the better dumb stories that we've had on this segment.
Yeah.
Licking toilet seats.
Licking toilet seats.
I never thought you'd have to tell people not to do that.
Or licking items in the store. I mean, you know, yes, that's a terroristic threat. We don't know if you have coronavirus. Maybe you're negative. You know, we don't know. But in this day and age, you just can't go around just licking stuff.
I heard there's a new thing where kids are going into stores coughing like crazy.
Yes.
Like stop that.
I was going to bring that up, too. You know, I was going to save that for another date.
Oh, God.
Of idiots with coronavirus. But, yeah, there was like two people who went into the store, coughed on the employee saying they had coronavirus. Those two were promptly arrested and charged with terroristic threats.
Good. Good. They should be.
Like this is, I mean, if you're doing that, that's terrorism.
That's exactly right. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Throwback Thursday. It's SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1979. NCAA championship game, Bird and Magic, the most watched basketball game in the history of television. At least that's what they're saying. I'm going to take their word for it, that it was that. Launched March Madness, Bird and Magic. 1979 for this song. If you had told me mid-70s, I would probably, that's where my guess would have been.
Yep.
79. That's amazing.
Is this one of those songs where, you remember, what was that, Name That Tune? Where the remember
yes.
they kept going back and forth, going, I can name it in five notes. If somebody ever went, I can name it in one note, you prayed it was this one.
Yeah, because
you know
first
it,
note. Yeah.
You know it instantly.
That's exactly right. Michael on Twitter, selling a star to somebody. Sales rep, look, kid, what do I have to do to get your girlfriend's name on that star? It's practically brand new at a billion years old. It's only 36 million light years away. If you sign now, I'll throw in a moon on Saturn. Good point. Yeah, selling a star. It's like, by the way, just to let you know, and I'm not, listen, I think it still could be a great gift. I'm sure it's still, if it's still in business. But remember, you're buying your girlfriend a ball of gas.
Yes.
Just never forget that.
Yep.
That's in the end, that's all you're knowing.
She's already with one.
Right. Exactly. I can name a ball of gas after somebody.
Back in the day, in my younger days, when I was a teacher, I had someone gift me a tree. They planted a tree in my name.
Oh, do you keep up with it?
No. I have no idea where this tree is.
Oh, okay.
I've lost a paper that said we planted a tree in your name. And I thought, at the time, I'm like, oh, you know what? That's kind of cool. I can be environmentalist, but.
Okay, I got an idea. What if you had a tree farm and you did that for people and you say, buy a tree and we'll plant it. And then every year we'll send you a picture of it. You just keep your database. So in case you change your kinda email address or whatever.
Is that like an adopting a kid?
Yeah, kind of. Right? Yeah. Like when you do that thing where a kid writes you a letter and you send them you put a monthly fee into the
Like I thought about
this. Look, it's you bought this 10 years ago. Here's what the tree looks like today. Every year you get a picture of the tree on the anniversary of the date you buy it, and they email you a picture of the tree, or they send it to whatever current address they have.
All right, what if you take it a step further and you adopt a sea turtle? Do you get to go and take care of that turtle?
That's
like,
true.
I was like, you know what? I've adopted him. I want to take him home with me.
They do that with dolphins. You can adopt a dolphin, and then they give you the, hey, look, if you provide, we'll be feeding him. We'll be taking care of the dolphin.
If I had a pool, can I bring him home?
Right. My daughter asked that when she was like 5. I said, well, how would we get it home? I go, nah, it's got to stay here.
That's all free, Willie. You can do it.
That's right. SB Nation AM.